Good morning or good afternoon. I'm Dino, the Chorus Call operator for this conference. Welcome to the Valeura Investors and Media Day 2010 conference call. This call must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Dr. Thomas Vollmöller, CEO, and Mr. Lorenzo Gezzini, CFO. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Hello, everybody. This is Lorenzo Gezzini and Thomas Vollmöller from Mutens. We welcome you all to present our new strategy called Valeura for Growth. 2.5 years ago, we launched our first strategy called Valeura for Success, which was, in essence, a turnaround strategy. The main part of the strategy of Valeura for Success was to get ground enough to get our company going again, to get it to a 3 to 4% margin. We are not finished with this strategy yet, but what we're seeing is we're getting close to our targets. We have finished probably 80% of the tasks that we needed to do. And so we are now thinking of what we can do to increase the value of this company further. So even though we still have to continue on the things that we had to do in Valeura for Success, we now add a new call, Valeura for Growth, which will incorporate parts of the Valeura for Success strategy. I propose the following. If you go through the presentation, I lead you through the second part, which is Valeura for Success, and the third part, Valeura for Growth. And I will skip for the moment the divisional strategies, which we can talk into later on if you want to, and have Lorenzo finish up with number five of the presentation. This in order to use this 1 hour most effectively, and so we will finish our presentation in half an hour. We have another half an hour time of questions, answers and questions. So if you would be so kind and turn with me to page number five, which is the new vision which we have for this company for the year 2015. In the year 2050, we all envision a Valeura, which is a trading company which has a leading position in Europe with two major divisions, which is retail services on one hand and trade on the other side, which are continuously growing and growing both organically and externally, which are sustainable, profitable, and which benefit from a satisfied stakeholders and highly motivated staff. And the strategy I will propose to you today will add on to this vision, as we will show you later on. If you turn to the next page, you see where we start, where the journey starts today. I think we feel we are today a very strong and focused company again. After having taken over this company 2.5 years ago, where we envisioned a company which had been lacking both in performance, in management skills, and also in its processes, we today feel we are much ahead and in a much better position. In retail, we are the experts in small outlet retail, with 4 clearly defined formats, with 1,600 outlets, of which 600 in travel-related locations, which is important because travel is obviously one of the growth drivers in our retail strategy. And we are present in 3 national markets, Switzerland, Germany, and Luxembourg. The services department has increased significantly in processes and performance in the last 2 years, and really being is a very professional service provider as of today, which has to do with the state-of-the-art processes we have now, especially in logistics, Luxembourg and Switzerland. We are serving 15,000 customers, and we are present in the 3 markets, Switzerland, Austria, and Luxembourg. Trade again, we are the by far biggest trader or distributor of branded goods in Europe. We are serving 250 principals in 8 countries, and we are very strong position in confectionery, food, and non-food products. So we feel in all 3 divisions we are well on the way and we are well focused. The Valeura for Success strategy was a significant part in reaching this position we are in today. And if you turn our next page, page number 7, you see some of the results we have done in the last 2 years. If you start with Valeura for Success with the blue part of the clover, you see what we did in our competence areas. We defined those formats and implemented them. We have now new product ranges with high margins like the OK product range or like our new services and kiosk. And what we also did, we defined and implemented our push-to-pull strategy in our services division. In the growth area, we have a new format in the convenience business, which is called AVEC. We will have nearly 100 stores by the end of this year, probably 95, 96 by the end of this year. We have done some acquisitions in Germany in 2008, which we implemented very smoothly. We have P&B as our new growth driver, our little new growth pearl here in Switzerland, which is a very nice format that we'll be seeing after having 10 stores this year, probably another 20 stores or 30 stores in the next years. We have, in our efficiency area, we did a lot of things. We really turned around the entire logistics platforms, both in Switzerland and in Luxembourg. We migrated our IT platforms, and we are in a very well good condition today. And we streamlined our headquarters by reducing our staff by 100 FTEs in the last 2 years. We also did a lot of things in order to enhance the proudness and the motivation of our people internally. We improved our leadership culture. We really focused on customer focus and on market research. And we improved the working conditions for our frontline people. So these were all some of the results we had in the last years. And if you look in some of the pictures on page number 8, you see some of those good examples. If you go to numbers on page number 9, you see that the Velocity for Success strategy didn't really have a big impact on the top line, which had to do with the relatively market conditions in this business. But yet, in spite of all the financial crisis in 2009, 2008, you see that we increased our EBIT from 59 to 81 to 86. This year, which is a 40% increase. And even if we probably expect to come out at the lower bandwidth this year, if you add on the Forex exchange decline we had in the last 2 years, which add up to another 7 million, if you would take a like for like, we increased from 59 to something like 80, which is the upper end bandwidth of the original guidance we gave in 2008. So, you see, Valora for Success was successful, and we increased our EBIT by 12% over the last years annually. So we had a CAGR and the EBIT part of 12%, and we obviously want to keep on with this track in the next years. So we still need to finish some of our tasks we have done in Valora for Success. If you turn to page number 10, you see some of the areas where we really need to finish our homework. One of them, we obviously have to achieve the profitability target we all want to have in the Swiss kiosk. We have to further professionalize our Valora services and trade business. We have to do some optimization in our wholesale business, which is a small part of our business, but we are still not very happy with it. In the growth area, the green one, we obviously need to do this rollout of AVEC and P&B now in Switzerland, and we also have to integrate our new acquisitions at Tapagon EMH in Norway. In the efficiency part, the yellow part, we need to complete the efficiency programs we've started, and we are very good underway, and we still are certainly looking for further opportunities to nearshore and to outsource non-core functions, such as, for instance, the whole part of IT infrastructure, networking, desktop computers, and all these things. In the red part of the clover, which is the people part, we certainly want to enhance the entrepreneurship in the company, for instance, by enhancing the agency systems and kiosk, which we believe is a win-win situation for both the shop owner as well as for Valora. We feel this is the way we go forward. We are one of the last kiosk chains in the world that is not using franchisees or agency systems, and we want to go into this direction. And we also want to sharpen our corporate values. And we are sure we will be now, after 2.5 years of turnaround, we feel that we have a much better feeling what Valora stands for, what a Valora employee should stand for. So you see, there's a lot of things to be finished, and yes, it will enhance organically further the value of the company. Still, for this will be only incremental value increase. In order to get bigger steps, we need to change up gears, and we need to change shifts by having a new strategy, which is called Valora for Growth, which I would like to lead you through. If you go to page 12, you see the arguments why we are not able to really grow more than 2% per year in our today's business. If you take the retail business, we see that because of the challenging marketing conditions like in tobacco, press and also lottery, 2% is the best we can get, and this is what we also seen in the last year. Even if we grow in food by 5, 6, 7, 8%, we still will have an overall top-line growth in retail by 2%. We still believe that the target margin is 3 to 4%, which is bigger than what we're having today, and that's where we were getting to. But the top-line growth will be not bigger than 2%. In the services area, it's even worse. There you have a declining overall press market, which is declining 2 or 3%. And if you say here that we believe we only decline by -1%, this already requires additional services, additional revenues in this business. Still, we believe the target margins in this business will remain in this 4 to 5% bracket, which we originally had and which we're still having. And we have good reason to believe that this 4 to 5% bracket is right. The trade business is probably the area where we can grow best, even though this year is a tough year because we lost those two contracts 2 years ago. We still believe with the existing principles and new principles, we can grow by 3% per year. Still, the target margin is a 2% low-margin business with a high ROCE of about 20%, but still a low EBIT margin business with 2 to 3%. If you take all this together, you see that the revenue increase is not more than 2% in the next years organically, and that the target margins will be in the area of 3 to 4%, which we already originally planned in the Valora for Success program. If you take all this together and you start with the 3 billion revenues we're having today, you see that this requires, that means that we can probably grow 300 million in the next 5 years, which is 2% per year, and probably increase our EBIT of 35%. Yeah, 30, sorry, not 35 million. Well, if you come from 80 to 85 or 81 to 86 million this year, and you add 35%, 35 million in the next 5 years, this will be not the space and the pace that we had in the last years in increasing our EBIT. If you want to continue the pace of growing our EBIT as we have done the last 3 years with 12, 13, or even 15%, we need to double our EBIT, which would require another 85 million of EBIT and not 35 million of EBIT. So if you turn to page 13, you see that the gap we have to close is 50 million in EBIT in order to really grow our EBIT in the pace of 15% in the next years, as we had been doing in the last 3 years. And if you want to add 50 million and organically, which because organically you only can get 35, this will require 1.5 billion of additional revenue, which we have to buy from the outside. Meaning also that in the beginning at least, we will have only 2% organic growth per year, but 8% unorganic growth in the top line, and that the and even in the bottom line, we will grow bigger by acquisitions than we will grow by our organic growth. So looking at those numbers, they seem to be challenging, but I will tell you now in just a second how we are going to do with it. There's one thing I have to one remark I have to make at this place. We are talking here about external revenues. So far, our reported revenues and our external revenues are pretty much the same. We have, if the external, the internal revenues or the reported revenue exclude the revenues to the customer in franchise system. Today, we only have a few Avex stores in franchise system and the Tabacon piece, which is only a quarter of the year in this business, which makes about 60 million francs this year, which is the difference between internal and external revenues. If you're going further in the next years, you will see that the gap between internal revenue and external revenue will be bigger. So from now on, we're talking only about external revenue, and with the reporting you're getting from next year on, we also will have internal revenues and external revenues in our reporting. So let me tell you how we're going to do the growth. Let's turn to page 14, where you see again that Valora for Success has the main target of growing the EBIT from 3 to 4% bracket. Well, now the strategy called Valora for Growth has the main target of doubling our operating profit until 2015, which means from 81 to 86 by another 85 million to 160 to 180 in 2015. Going to page 15, you see the four major levers of Valora for growth. There is an organic margin growth, which is an improvement by 2 percentage points each year, meaning you want to grow by nearly one percentage point in the bottom line. You will have organic sales growth with a 2% per year increase of our current activities. This is mainly what I told you before. Taking G1 and G2 together, this will add 35 million to our EBIT. Then you have G3, which is growing externally in retail and services by not only the four formats we're having today, but growing with five or six formats, and an external growth in trade, which is G4, which makes us an even bigger player in Europe. We are already by far the biggest player today, but we want to become even bigger. Going to page number 16, you see how the numbers split up in the areas. You see that the organic margin growth will add about 15 million, including some of the downturns in the market, and the organic growth revenue growth is a 300 million revenue increase and a 20 million EBIT. So together it's the 35 we talked about before. The external growth in retail and services will be 900 million additional revenues until 2015 and 30 million EBIT. The external growth in trade, we expect to have 600 million revenues and 20 million EBIT. So this comes up to 1.8 billion increase in revenue, which is a 10% increase per year, and adds another 85, which is split overall for activities by 15% per year. If you go with me to page number 17, you see that the key levers are spread over all three divisions. If you go through G1 organic margin growth, this is mainly a job from retail and services. This is mainly to enhance the profitability at the kiosk in Switzerland, which needs to be still fulfilled. And then we have to improve our cost base at services. G2 is really extend our product ranges at retail services. It's also organically expand our outlet network in AVEC and PNB, but also in kiosk and in trade to strengthen our principal base. This will all help us to grow organically our revenues. In G3, there's two major ideas. One is to expand on our kiosk business in Germany. What we want to do there is we want to build 1,000 kiosks by 2015. We bought Tabacon this year. We have Kiosk here with a very good French school, and we believe that of the 20,000 kiosks there are in Germany today, we believe we will have a good chance of having 1,000 and playing a good role in the German market, which is a very fragmented market today. And from the numbers we've seen with our own stores, but also with the Tabacon stores, we believe to have very good synergies and a very good leverage in this business. This alone should add 700 million to our revenues. And secondly, in the retail in the G3, we want to acquire and to roll out one to two new travel retail formats. We know that our travel retail is a growing business. We believe that one, two more formats would help us to play a bigger role in the travel business. We looked at the European train stations, and we looked at what we find at those train stations are working on small format, on small surface. A and B are not prone to internet substitution, and we found some areas like papeterie, like accessoires, like bakeries, these kind of things, and we're looking into to buy one or two chains in those next 5 years. G3, this one will probably add another 200 to our revenues. G4 is the trade strategy, and again we have two main levers we see. One is to add new categories in the markets that we are in today and buying distributors in growing business segments, like for instance our EMH acquisitions we have done in the summer of the year, which we was done in the cosmetics business. Very nice business, growing market, 4% EBIT margin, so very nicely positioned. And we look in different other areas like pet food, like health food, to buy distributors here. This is another 200 million of revenues. And then the fourth external strategy is to acquire a leading distributor or several leading distributors in new markets. Talking about new markets, we see that we are already the biggest today in Europe. We are present in 8 countries, but we believe we can be present in 12, 13, 14, 15 countries. And we were looking into buying national distributors, leading national distributors in small European countries, especially Eastern Europe, like the Baltics, like East Europe. And this alone should add another 400 million in the next years. So, if you take all this together and compare it with the vision I've shown you at the very beginning, on page number 18, you see what we believe Valora will look like in 2015. Yes, we are a leading European trading company with activities in 12 to 15 national markets with a Swiss share of the total business, which is about 30%. With the two main business areas, retail services and trade, with retail services being 3 to 3.5 million, with new formats, more travel retail, and less dependencies on those declining markets as they are press, tobacco, and probably also lottery. And with the trade business with about 1.5 billion sales, with new growing categories, less dependency on own label, less dependency on confectionaries, and with presence in fast-growing European markets, which is mainly Eastern European markets, which are continuously generating organic and external, organic and external growth, up to 10% a year, of 10% a year, which 2% are at the beginning of a year, at the beginning of the session, and 8% unorganically. Well, during those 5 years, obviously the shift will go more into organic growth, because we obviously will buy things which have internal organic growth more than unorganic growth. And which are sustainable, profitable, yes, we will. We still stick to our own 3 to 4% EBIT margin, which is about a percentage point higher than this year, and which will benefit from satisfied stakeholders and highly motivated staff, which we hopefully see both in employee surveys, in stock prices, and increased customer footfall. Okay. This is more or less from my side to give you a rough overview what Valora for Growth looks like. And now I would lead over to Lorenzo, who will tell you how we're going to finance it.
So thanks, Thomas. Hi, everybody. Concerning, I'm on the page 34. Valora for Growth's aims in 2015, as we have heard from Thomas Vollmuller, external revenues of 4.8 billion Swiss francs. This is a compounded average growth rate in the next 5 years of 10%. 2% are coming from organic growth, at least, and 8% from inorganic growth. In 2015, more or less, will be 30% of the external revenues will come from the division retail and services, and 30% from the division trade, which means that the division trade will double in 5 years their external revenues. Expect in 2015 EBIT of between 160 and 180 million, which is an EBIT margin of 3.5% in average. We have also given expectation for 2012. We have there an expectation on the external revenues of 3.7 billion and EBIT of between 110 and 130 million Swiss francs, which is an EBIT margin, correspond to an EBIT margin of, in average, 3.2%. So let me go on page 35. Valora for Growth will bring significant improvement in the company valuation. These improvements are mainly driven by our improvements in the operating margin, especially due to our initiative G1, or organic margin growth, and especially also due to synergies and economies of scale, which we are expecting from the acquisition G3 and G4. Further, we expect also improvement in our company valuation due to the internal growth, new markets, new formats, and a better product mix, and also from an improved capital structure. Currently, we have a return on equity last year of more or less 11%, we want to increase this return on equity for our shareholder by 2015 of about 20%. So let me now go on page 36. How do we want to finance the Valora for Growth, and what are the funds required? We expect funds between 200 and 400 million francs to finance this strategy. This is based on the revenues on of 1.1 to 1.2 billion, which we want to acquire, on an EBIT margin of between 3 and 4% and on an EBIT multiple of between 6 and 9. These funds will be financed by our free cash flow. We expect annually free cash flows between 40 and 50 million Swiss francs after dividends. We can also count on some non-operating assets, on the disposal of some non-operating assets. We consider here a potential of 70 to 100 million Swiss francs. And as you know, we are currently net debt free, which means that we can leverage us by at least 180, 200 million in the future. So what is very important today is that the Valora for Growth strategy will not need an increase in capital. We will consider, in case where we have an excess cash, to return this cash to our investor. And thirdly, we are still aimed to have a shareholder-oriented dividend policy also in the future. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Lorenzo. Well, I think we made really optimal in timing. We have 30 minutes of presentation, so we now have 30 minutes of questions. Please go ahead.
The first question is from Ms. Carolyn Price, Caprice Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello. My first question, it does have to do with the slide 36 on the presentation. I was just wondering, first of all, how you get from the 1.5 billion of acquired sales target down to the 1 to 1.2 billion, given that I think that with EMH and Tabacon, we're looking at in total 200 million or so of sales, and part of that is already in 2010. So could you just elaborate on that, how you get there? Then also related to this, how realistic would you say the 6 to 9 times EBIT multiples are that you'd be looking to pay? You've identified some potential targets, and I'm wondering, you know, how, you know, what kind of motivation will they have to sell at such levels? Or are you incorporating, let's say, significant savings from incorporating them into your networks when you consider the multiples that you're planning to pay? And I'm also wondering, when you make your acquisitions, you'll have presumably some acquired intangibles. And when you talk about your margin of 3 to 4%, would that include or exclude that that kind of amortization? And maybe you could just illustrate, you know, an answer to these questions with Tabacon, because from what I could tell, we don't have the information on the multiple that you paid, but maybe you could just use that as an example. Thank you.
Okay, you are welcome. So let me go on the first question you have had, which is based on the revenues. How will you come up to 1.1 and 1.2 million, and how does it fit with the 1.5 billion that we have mentioned before? As you might know, EMH and Tabacon is not included in these revenues of 1.1, 1.2. You mentioned 200 million. This is more or less correct. We have a full effect on EMH and on Tabacon, which is approximately 200 million. So you can add the 200 million on top. And what we do not have here is basically the organic growth, which we expect from this acquisition by itself. So the acquisition we have made and the acquisition which will made will grow by more than 2%, and this is what come up here with this figure of 1.1 to 1.2 million.
Okay, so just to clarify then, on this slide it said assuming no organic growth at acquired entities, so that's not the case. You are assuming some organic growth at the acquired entities.
It's excluded. The idea is if you take on average 2.5 years, it's 5 years to go, 2.5 years on average, 5% growth of those companies, you're talking about 10-15%. We have subtracted this 10-15%, because we're talking about 2015, we have subtracted those 10-15% from the revenues you want to acquire, because that's the growth within 5 years we expect from the business.
Okay.
So the second question, EBIT multiples, these are 6-9, are more or less the EBIT multiple that we have seen on a market level. We have to say that this is very subject to the acquisition which we will make. I mean, it depends very strong from the net debt situation of the targets which we are looking for. We consider that this is more or less the range where we can where we will able to buy these companies currently. It's clear it's an approximation. We will see. It depends on target to target. Will be different. But we think that this is more or less the range where we can buy in the next 5 years our targets. And concerning the third question, the intangible and the amortization on the intangible, we have included this into our calculation of our 50 million Swiss francs. It's clear it's very difficult to say as we don't know which targets we have specifically in front of us in the next 5 years. What will be exactly the amount? We have made an estimation, and we have included the estimation into our projection.
Tabacon. The question on Tabacon. You will. Okay. Well, Tabacon, we've never originally given out the EBIT. As far as how we have never given the EBIT multiples, but what we can tell you, it's in the range of 6-9, which we have in here. So this is one of these. This was a very good company with a very good growth potential. So we feel very, very okay with those numbers.
Okay, thank you. Could I just follow up with the two other sort of related questions? Of the 1,000 or let's say 1.5 billion in external growth, do you have some kind of a range that you could give in terms of how much of that you would expect or hope to come from the franchise side of it?
Very difficult to say, but if you go through the businesses and you say the one and a half billion, you can say 700 million of the 1.5 billion is the German kiosk business, and there's a very big likelihood that the majority of this 700 million will come from franchise business. Trade businesses all will not be franchise business, so it will be full revenues, and the new formats, travel formats, we simply don't know yet. But it's only 200 million of the 1.5 billion. So if you make an estimation, my best guess at the moment will be, and please don't nail me down on this one, I would say 40% of the 1.5 billion will probably be franchise revenues and will not be reported revenues.
Okay. And then on the 70 to 100 million of non-operating assets that could be realized to help finance the program. Can you just enumerate where this is on the balance sheet? Because I've seen the book value of the investment property is only 10 million or so at the end of 2009. So I'm just trying to figure out where that would come from, and then if you have any indication for timing and of the 200 million in raising of debt, whether that be bonds or bank debt, likely.
Well, as you might know, we have a known building here in Switzerland, in Muttenz, which is a major building, and from this building we potentially raise part or in full this amount of funds. We have additionally other buildings in other countries which Valora owns, which are potentially or could potentially also be sold. So this is a very realistic amount, between 70 and 100 million. It depends on the current market condition, if Valora wants or wants not to sell, and on the price. But is still as non-operating assets to consider, and therefore as potential liquidity.
It's in the balance sheet. If you go to our annual report, you will find the how much is it? How much we have in
is basically you will find it in the section at page 54 in section 20, and you will see there that we have all in all we have in as a land we have a net book value of 21 million. As a building, we have 96 million at the book value. 91 million as a book value.
Okay?
Okay. And the debt, sorry?
Sorry, the second question was?
About the debt, the 200 million, if you could talk about maybe the timing and whether it might
exactly,
be bond
sorry.
Or bank
sure.
debt.
Sure. I mean, you have to consider that Valora is currently net debt free. So yeah. For Valora, it's not really an issue to have a leverage in their book. So it's not something which we will raise tomorrow. It will depend on the strategy when we have the opportunity to act. And at that time we will leverage ourselves, and we see a potential of up to 200 million of financing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. John Cox, Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hi, John.
Yeah, how are you guys? It's a very ambitious program you're obviously you're talking about today. I'm just trying to get my head around this. The 3 billion revenues you see for this year, does that exclude then the Tobacon and EMH acquisitions? That would be my first question. The second question, just on the potential disposal of the properties, would it be possible they'd actually write down the value of those properties, so you may get a cash in, but you'd actually take a book loss on them to raise cash? That's my second question. Third question, just on the dividend, you talked about paying out excess cash to shareholders. What do you exactly mean there? Do you have some sort of like a target leverage ratio, and then you would go up to that level? Or, you know, what is your thinking? Because I must admit, I always thought your dividend was quite attractive. You seem to be suggesting you give out excess cash, but what exactly is excess cash? Thanks very much.
Okay, so question A, Tobacon EMH. The closing was end of September, so we have only one quarter of EMH and Tobacon in there. Of the 200 million, it's 50 million, which we have in 2010. And an additional 150 million next year. The 3 billion includes the franchise fee. So it's the, as we said, the external revenues. We say on the charts earlier, the expected revenues for this year, the reported revenues is 2.9 billion. So there's a difference between the 65 million is the difference between internal and external revenue for this year, expected, estimated. No, we will not do a fire sale from the building. We will take our time. We will decide when we have good offers for this building to sell. We believe we have a good chance of selling it without an impairment, and so there is no reason at the moment being to do a fire sale of the building. And then to generate cash. As you know, we don't really have an need of cash right now. And as Lorenzo said, we can leverage ourselves. The question of the leverage level, we won't always want to have a good leverage, but we also want to have a stable balance sheet. So we always stay above the 30% equity ratio. So that's our target. We are at 42% today, so we still have lots to go down to 30%.
So can you give us any indication of the dividend on this year's earnings then? Would that still be in line with market expectations? Or
it will be, I guess it will be in line with market expectations because, I mean, so far we always had a payout ratio of about 50%. There is no indication from my side so far is that there will be a change in dividend policy. And as you see from the numbers, when you put in free cash flow after dividend of 40, 50 million every year, this includes already the dividend payout. So for us, this means we will all stay with the same kind of payout ratio. As you know, it's not me or us to decide. It's the General Assembly to decide.
Okay, so you, when you're talking about free cash flow there, you're talking about after paying
After dividend.
After paying a dividend, which would be around 50% of net earnings.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. And then just to follow up on the, you talked at the end, reducing your reliance on cigarettes and newspapers, but obviously if your focus is on expanding a sort of kiosk-type business in Germany, and tobacco is obviously heavily weighted towards tobacco and newspapers, how do I square the circle there? I can understand because you're expanding trade and stuff, but I can't quite understand it within the retail part of the business.
Yeah, okay, but even in the business we buy there, yes, there will be, from a buying perspective, will be a higher exposure on tobacco as well, but since we want to turn around those tobacco shops into kiosks, we put in more food, put more more tobacco business, plus we have big leverage in here. You can buy those, you can look at those German kiosks a little bit like distressed assets, which we are buying, we get synergies out of them, and you can get good money out of them.
Okay.
The rest of the business, this is the first strategy. Here we're investing in tobacco at the beginning, but we will turn the structure, the assortment structure, we will shift around and we'll create leverage by this. And the all three other strategies will be outside of tobacco and press.
Okay. And sorry, just to come back to this free cash flow, because when I'm looking at my model, I certainly don't have you at putting out 40 to 50 million francs after you've paid the dividend. I presume it's going to be more like, 20-odd this year, 30-odd the year after, and then closer to 40 in 2012. When would this 40 to 50 million start kicking in, do you think, post a dividend payout?
Well, actually, we have taken really an average. I mean, that is 40 to 50 million after dividend is really considering an average of the 5 years.
I get you. Okay.
More than realistic if you see the development in the EBIT. What you have to consider is that we have also considered an increase in dividend, for sure higher, as Thomas said, the payout ratio of 50%. So this is more on average 40 to 50 million, which we consider as really to be very, very reasonable.
Okay. And sorry, just to keep going on, just
let me say something else. I mean, it really depends on when the different acquisition will be made and so on.
Okay. Just on the environment for M&A, because obviously you're probably scouring Europe, as we speak, or your sort of teams are. I'm just wondering, is there a lot of distressed assets around because, of the problems we've had economically, and maybe you can actually pick up some stuff in more of a fire sale type of way, or are you not really seeing that? And actually, if anything, with the market improving, then actually valuations tend to be creeping up somewhat.
Well, we believe this business we are in, you still get those six to nine EBIT multiples. I mean, we have had many discussions in the last time. So if you have distressed assets like kiosk, you're rather in the six area. If you have high growing businesses like for instance, growing markets, you're more in the nine area. So, but in general, we feel so far the 6 to 9 is relatively reasonable. So double digits, we don't see double multiples, and we don't envision double digit multiples in the next years in our businesses.
Great, thanks very much, and good luck.
Thank you. Killer.
We have a follow-up question from Ms. Carolyn Price, Caprice Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you. With respect to the, I'm just curious about the Ready concept and how that's going, because I'm guessing that maybe that's going to, slated to provide some of the organic revenue growth for retail. You know, I know it's early days. It obviously wasn't enough to offset the lottery, the decline in the lottery sales in the first half. But could you just give some indications on how that's going and what kind of role that is supposed to play in the organic growth for the retail? Thank you.
So the ready module is now called at kiosk module. So we have made it more of a kiosk type thing. If you, it's still this red, we call it the red wall. It will be, we have now since end of October, we have about 300 of those walls out there. And we'll begin to start relatively soon and playing with them. So you will have, you see before Christmas, insurances, gift boxes, there will be another few programs coming in the next weeks, which I don't want to talk about right now. We still have the money transfer going to be starting. So there are several things to be coming. We hope to get a significant increase in the offers in this red wall before Christmas Eve.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Till Leisner, UBS. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would have three questions. The first question I would have, could you elaborate a little bit on your tax rate, where you think that's going to move once you've made all those acquisitions? The second question is, can you give us an indication, do you see a higher likelihood now to sell your logistic platform than, let's say, half a year ago for the first half conference call? And the last question I'd have is a little bit on the leverage of your model. I mean, if I'm not totally mistaken, I take your guidance of 160 to 180 million EBIT for 4.8 billion of sales into account. I'm still not coming up with more than 4% EBIT margin. Maybe elaborate there if you see further synergies or if I did something wrong here.
Yeah. Okay, let me go on the first question concerning the tax rate. I mean, as you know, we have currently a tax rate of 18%. The tax rate will be dependent for sure from the country where we made our acquisitions. But we do not consider that the tax rate of 18% currently will significantly change in the future. So I feel comfortable on this 18% for the next years.
Okay, let me, Till, just a question on the logistics platform. Sorry, I didn't get the question.
Do you see the higher likelihood to sell it than half a year ago? I think the last update we'd had was the first half results.
What do you mean with the logistic platform?
The logistics center.
You mean the headquarter here?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. We are in the process. We have whatever Baugenehmigung means in English. So we are in the process of getting our Baugenehmigung now. So we are taking our time. We are not getting to be pushed. We want to get the right price for the building. And we don't have to announce anything right now. We are very confident we will sell it, but it's we are not in a hurry here. The leverage model, the 4%, no, we're sticking with the 3-4% margin. So we are, the 3-4% is what we believe in also in 2018, which has a lot to do that half of what we're acquiring, which is the kiosk business, probably comes from a 2% leverage, and we bring it by synergies then to a 3-4% area. So you see that the 3-4% in the business we are in, we believe still will be the final area.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to be too picky, but on the tax rate, I'm not really sure. I mean, if you buy assets in Germany, I would expect that to go up, not down.
Well, you know, it depends on the Verlustvorträge, in English, it's loss carry forward that you have. As if you look to the AMA report of Valoria, you will see that there are some loss carry forward. So we're really confident that even if we will buy in Germany, we will not increase our tax rate.
Okay. This is the one good advantage of having had a bad history of acquisitions.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Mr. John Cox, Kepler. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi again. I just have a bit of a question on the kiosk. I wonder if you just give us a bit of an update how that turnaround is going, because I know it's been a bit of a slog, particularly with regards to the OK offering, and if that is really starting to you know, move the margin and top line, or is it still a bit of a slog because maybe gains there are being offset by, you know, newspaper or tobacco? That's first question. Second question, yeah, you mentioned the point Valor has not had maybe the best track record when it comes to doing M&A and acquisitions. You know, why should we think it's going to be any different this time?
Okay, so this was an own goal, I think you call it in football. Let me start with the second question. There have been those mattress factories and cookie factories and photo laboratories, which were all big bang acquisitions. What we're proposing here is not big bang acquisitions. This is classical add-on small to medium company acquisition in the business we are in. That's a big, big, big difference from the past. And then, if you look at how we growing the German, how we had been growing the German business had been growing by 16 different small acquisitions, exactly the way we are now proposing, and those were very successful. The €500 million revenues we're making in Germany by next year, if you include Tabacon, is only growing by, had been growing by acquisitions. So that's exactly the big difference. We are not proposing Big Bang. We are not proposing to do something out of our core businesses. We are proposing 1, 2, 3, 4 acquisitions a year, which are medium and small-sized companies in our core businesses. So I hope this is a big difference from the past. And number two, the kiosk business is currently improving. The OK business has helped a lot. The at kiosk business will help even further. We are in the process. We always said this is a long distance run to get the kiosk business better. We always said it's until 2012. We are in good process and we are going further and we are improving.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Mr. Hubert Mate, Loeb Investment Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Just one very technical question because the rest has been already answered. Today, what is the depreciation of the headquarters you have in Muttenz, and what is the value you're putting into the P&L, and what would be a sort of ideal cost for renting new premises for your offices?
Sorry to say, if you want to sell something, you're not putting any. We are not disclosing the value of the business in the in our books.
Right. So at the end of the day, so let's put it the other way around. Is it going to impact, significantly the P&L there?
If it does, it only does to the better.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
The final question is another follow-up from Ms. Caroline Price, Caprice Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you again. Just a question on Press and Book. Could you just say, you know, when you give your detail in in your commentary for your interim and annual reports, are you including that in the kiosk business, or are you going to be separating that out so we see a little bit more how that's doing? Or, I mean, just wondering what category you're including it in, or if it's going to have its own category within retail.
P&B is part of the retail division, from what I understand, and
we don't disclose specifically P&Ls of the single business unit within the divisions.
But no, I know that, but sometimes you talk about, for example, you know, press revenues did this and lottery tickets did that. I mean, with press revenues, it's hard to tell whether that's kiosks only, or if that you're talking about kiosk and press and book. You know, when you...
Well, actually, when we are working about the market on the different product groups, we are then talking about the whole division and of the whole division trade, the retail. I mean, press is within kiosk, is within press and books, is within our Avex. So okay. We distribute and we sell our press within all our formats for part of our strategy.
We are wholesaler in the press business, so we are not 50% of the press revenues in Switzerland is in our own retail, and 50% is in third-party retail.
Okay, and then you mentioned in your presentation on page 26 that Valor Services is to further streamline logistics and centralize administrative functions. I'm just wondering, you know, how much of what's left to be done there was part of the part of what you talked about already with your Valora for success, and how much is new initiatives, and you know, when do you think that these you know, this effort in that regard will be completed?
G1 and G2 is success continued. I mean, we always have to understand this. Valora for Success fits into G1 and G2. And we all, Valora for Success was supposed to be finished by 2012. So obviously these things are original measures and need to be completed now in the next 2 years. There is little left. I mean, there is a, we have done major parts in optimization, probably 3 million still will come out of it. Centralizing administration functions will also give additional revenue. So there is additional EBIT to come from this business. As you see here, 10 is what we put in here. But this is continuing the original measures. And we always,
okay,
said, if you look into the original Valora for Success presentation, we said between 2010 and 2012, we add another 7 million of cost reductions. And this is a major part of it.
Okay, so this would be completed most likely by 2012 then, not by,
yeah,
then the next year, for example.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We now have another question from Ms. Irina Kiselhoff, Argauer Zeitung. Please go ahead.
Hello. Could you please again say how do you want to enhance the profitability of the kiosk in Switzerland?
Well, the story is still the same. We are there's two ways of growing, enhancing the kiosk. A, we want to improve our assortment, which is, for instance, the services having more non-food products in there, and B, to reduce our cost, which has to be done by a better personnel planning, and B, by the agency system. The agency system is a significant piece in increasing our kiosk profitability.
Thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. John Cox, Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just to come back to what Caroline was saying, actually, will you just report two divisions in the future then, so that the services will be merged into retail, or will you continue to report three divisions?
Yes.
Okay, and then the second question, just when you're talking about the expansion of retail into Germany, you're talking about bakeries. I'm just wondering, so you would actually look to buy a chain of small bakeries? Is that the plan, or is it a case of trying to leverage more bakery or morning goods products into a kiosk?
The general idea, what we have here, and we don't only have bakeries here, you have papeterie, you have accessories. The general idea is, yes, we're looking for chains which can work standalone as an own chain, like a pie chain or like a bakery chain, but also where we can use modules and plugging them into our other retail formats. So we are looking a little bit for the DNA of our current business and looking what other kind of formats are fitting in between them. But it is, we are looking at the end of new formats.
Okay.
And yes, if bakeries, I mean, take the Brezelkönig, and this one is probably one of the most profitable businesses which are there. I mean, we're not buying the Brezelkönig because it has been already bought, but there's, I mean, it's quite an interesting business.
Okay. And then you mentioned travel retail. Are you talking there about your traditional sort of offering, or are you talking now more of going into compete with Quoni and guys like that?
No. Travel business means train stations, airports.
Okay.
That's more a location question. We are not wanting to compete with the travel operators.
No. Okay. Great. Thanks very much again.
Thank you.
The final question for today's conference is from Mr. Kaspar Kennel, Z Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. I just have another question on your page 36, please, regarding financing. I just wanted to find out if, you know, the debt financing and the sale of the non-operating assets are only related to the financing needs of your potential acquisitions, or are you planning to do those anyway? And maybe in relation to that, your bond is running out in July 2012, 140 million notional value. Are you planning to refinance that and re-leverage the company and potentially, you know, distribute some cash from that to shareholders?
Okay. Well, actually, there is no need for refinancing the bond. We will wait for the expiration, is in, as you mentioned, in July 2012. The debt financing which we are currently mentioning here with 200 million is specifically related to the Valor of a Group strategy and specifically related to acquisitions. It's clear it will be depend on the volume of the acquisition which we will have in per annum. We see that we need to finance this acquisition partly. We can finance it by our free cash flow, and partly we will finance this by increase on a short-term basis or financing by a syndicate credit or something like that. So we will not just raise now external funds and wait for the acquisition. We will just raise them when we will have the opportunity to acquire and in the amount of the acquisition if we cannot if we cannot finance by the free cash flow itself.
But as said, the non-operating asset sale is not directly related to financing needs.
It will depend on the kind of acquisition, but not specifically. I mean, we have the strategy which basically we don't want to be invested in buildings. We want to invest in our point of sales. This is our business. This is our core business. So if we have the opportunity to sell this building, then in this case, either we will, return this excess cash to our investor, or if we have an acquisition, instead of having a debt financing, we will finance this acquisition with the funds which are coming up from this disposal.
Okay, great. So any potential cash return to investors, we should probably rather expect in let's say a couple of years down the road.
I think the time will show that. It really depends on how fast Valora can perform this Valora for Growth strategy. It depends on the targets that which we will have in front of us. It's very difficult to say it now.
Okay, thanks so much for that.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions. Would you like to close your conference call, gentlemen?
Yeah. Thanks a lot. This was a great question and answer session. We are still here in case our investor relation will answer your questions. And if you want to, I also will be talking to you. So have a nice day. Thanks for participating and have a nice day. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing the Chorus Call facility, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.